Hello, ¿qué tal? You heard a couple of Pacific waves from RNZ Pacific, Mikoroi Hawkins. Coming up,
many Papuans are dying. We have been calling international community.
West Papua's COVID-19 response is being hampered by indigenous communities' mistrust in Indonesian authorities.
Because this took away the right of the landowners to decide on how their land is to be used.
A political tussle over land rights in Fiji is aggravating an already tense situation amid a worsening COVID-19 and health crisis.
I think our community was quite happy to not talk about it because it was so awful.
And as the New Zealand government prepares to apologise to Pacific peoples for the Dawn raids, we talk to the people behind some of Aotearoa's earliest raids-inspired art. Indonesia has become the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic in Asia. And as with much of Indonesia, the country's easternmost provinces of Papua and West Papua are struggling to contain the spread of COVID with the Delta variant on the loose. Health authorities there have reported almost 47,000 confirmed cases and 860 reported deaths from the virus in the two provinces. Johnny Blades reports on the health crisis in the Papua region.
The Papua Provincial Health Spokesman Silvanus Sumale outside a hospital in the capital Jayapura explaining that they've reached full capacity and they're short on oxygen tanks. Patients are being treated in corridors or outside the hospital. The sort of desperate scenes being experienced across Indonesia, where over 3.2 million cases and 87,000 deaths from COVID-19 have been reported. But the health system in Papua is generally weaker than most other parts of the republic. And a human rights advisor to the Papuan People's Assembly, Wentsi Fatuban, says fear is growing about how the virus is spreading.
We really worry with the pandemic COVID-19. If they go to the remote area, we don't know. Many indigenous Papuans will die because there's not enough doctor, nurse, and also health facilities.
Since the pandemic began, adherence to basic health safety measures has been mixed in Papua. But with the Delta variant rampaging through the community, Wentsi Fatuban says Papua's provincial government sought a full lockdown for the month of August.
So the local government announced for the lockdown, but national government doesn't want Papua province lockdown, but use different restrictions on community activities.
Mass burials in Jayapura, another sign of the surge in deaths from COVID in recent weeks. Wentsi Fatuban says the outbreak's been exacerbated by two things: poor access to health services for local people and a lack of awareness about COVID and vaccination. The moderator of the Papuan Council of Churches, Reverend Benny Giai, says many West Papuans are resisting the vaccine rollout chiefly because of the role of Indonesian security forces in it. He says Indigenous Papuans deeply mistrust military and police.
Past few months, in several districts, it is the military and the police who accompany the medical team who go promoting this vaccine. But people send them away and very difficult to convince the people.
Given the ongoing violent conflict between Indonesian forces and West Papuan independence fighters, as well as decades of human rights abuses and racism towards Papuans, Reverend Giai says it's no wonder they are reluctant to get the jab.
I mean, I can understand the resistance to this vaccine promoted by government here. But reality is that they have gone through this crisis and violence, and government is promoting, involving military and police to accompany, to be part of this, and we don't like that.
Reverend Giai wants his people to get vaccinated and says outside help is required to convince them.
Many Papuans are dying. We have been calling international community, medical, maybe international Red Cross, maybe humanitarian intervention to convince our people.
This proposal is highly unlikely to be accepted by Indonesia's government, which has long restricted outside access to Papua. Meanwhile, Jakarta continues with a business-as-usual approach in the remote eastern region and is sticking to its plans for Papua to host the Indonesian National Games in October, which is set to bring in many more people from other parts of the country.
A political tussle in Fiji is aggravating an already tense situation amid a worsening COVID-19 and health crisis. Former prime ministers, opposition leaders and indigenous rights advocates have been taken in for questioning by police about their criticism of a controversial government bill proposing changes to the country's Land Act. Police say they've noticed an increase in hate speech and threats of unrest being made on social media about the proposed changes. Christine Ravoy has more.
The escalating tension is over the government's plan put forward by the Attorney General, Ayaz Said Kayum, to amend the Itoke Land Trust Act. The current law states that anyone leasing land or wanting to make changes has to go through the Itoke Land Trust Board, which was set up to protect Indigenous landowners' rights. But former Prime Minister and Fiji Labour Party leader Mahendra Chaudhry, who was among those detained by police, claims the amendment removes that protection for landowners.
What the landowners are saying, and rightly I think, that any transaction with regard to a lease on native land, if it is to be altered or mortgaged or pledged in any other way, needs to be approved by the board. And that authority should not be delegated or should not be waived, except with the approval of the board.
Indigenous rights advocate Nico Nawaikula agrees.
The law is not allowed to interfere with how you decide on your property. That's in breach, because this took away the right of the landowners to decide on how their land is to be used, to be charged or to give it on group rights very clearly.
But the Hope Party leader and High Chief Roko Tupo Ndrauni Ndalo disagrees.
People are getting the wrong interpretation of the bills, and it's riling them up to make them say and do silly things. That's my concern, breaches of the peace. The Constitution is very clear. The Constitution is higher than any mortgage, higher than any charge, higher than any legislation. It says native land can never be alienated. It will always belong to the landowners, no one else.
The detention of the senior politicians has sparked widespread protests amidst threats of violence. But the head of Fiji's police force, Rusiate Tundravu, warns anyone who incites civil unrest will be arrested.
We don't want vulnerable people, people that cannot see, to be influenced by all these misinformation that are going on. And my advice is, if we can just continue with what we're supposed to do, or rather than taking the law into our own hands.
Three people have been arrested in relation to the burning of a shop and the compound of a mosque in Fiji's northern island of Tavuni. Claims on social media have linked the arson attack to the land row between the government and the opposition. Our correspondent in Suva, Lide Movono, hails from Tavuni, and she says the situation there is uncertain.
In Tavuni, to the north of Fiji, there had been violence overnight. Reports of the burning of a mosque and a supermarket owned by a Muslim gentleman. And so it's a precarious situation we're in right now.
Police are also investigating burglary reports in the area over the past months during curfew hours, which are now 6 p.m. to 4 a.m. and came into effect on the 26th of July. Running parallel to the political strife, Fiji's COVID-19 crisis continues to worsen, with over 18,000 people with the virus in isolation and the death toll already past 200 and continuing to climb daily. Ongoing calls for a lockdown continue to be ignored by the government, which is prioritizing economic security and pushing universal vaccination coverage instead.
Nearing the end of the 90s, a generation of Pacifica dragged the dawn raids from under the rug. Pacific creativity broke out into a hive of popularity, declaring an end to national amnesia on the racist immigration policy. And now those faces behind some of Aotearoa's earliest works of art and entertainment inspired by the dawn raids are reflecting as the government prepares to say sorry. Marina Fangavamula with the story.
From the recording studio to fashion runway, Pasifika were for the first time speaking out on how the government traumatised communities by invading their homes in the early morning. We now know Oscar Keitely as a jack of many trades, but it was in 1997 that he launched the Dawn Raids production as a young playwright. He says the time was a coming of age.
It was weird that it just wasn't a thing. It was almost like something that was in the national amnesia and best left there. And I think our community was quite happy to not talk about it because it was so awful.
In 1995, Keitely was cast in the play Tsatsau Rites of Passage. That play, looking at the effects of immigration, began with real tattooing, live on stage, demonstrating Samoan pe'a.
Kind of period piece that went from the 40s to the 80s, and it was pretty full on at times. And I remember the reporter saying, "Well, can't you guys make happy stories?" In a kind of flippant, casual way, but it was just that attitude of, why do you guys need to talk about this stuff?
Rapper Bill Urale, better known as Kenka Bisi, began his career around the same period. He's performed alongside big names including Janet Jackson, the Beastie Boys and Red Hot Chili Peppers. And it's on the stage, at sold-out venues across the world, that Kenka Bisi referenced the Dawn Raids in his lyricism.
For some reason, I thought I was Māori. And the reason why that was because I had never understood what the word Samoa was. Samoa, you know, we spoke Samoan at home, but until I touched, you know, the motherland, I was able to say, wow, there's heaps of Samoans over here.
Garbisi's critically acclaimed debut album in 2000 was Savage Thoughts, with titles such as Home Invasion and Fix Amnesia. In 2002, he founded streetwear label The Overstayer Clothing Company. His garments sold in Farmers and appeared on the catwalks of Westfield-styled Pasifika and New Zealand Fashion Week.
Whatever you create, it represents where you're from, your family, but also your lineage. And, you know, that's what I've tried to do with my music. You know, we've made some iconic songs. And the cool thing is about right now, we still have the potential to make other iconic songs.
When Dawn Raid Entertainment was at its peak, it was home to some of the best-selling Pasifika artists of all time. Mulianga Tele Danny Leo Savai was one of its founders. Also known as Brother D, he named his label Dawn Raid because he himself was raided.
I went through it, and the dogs, the early hours in the morning with the police, you know, banging the house down and taking away my cousin, and all those things happened. And I remember I asked my mum at the time, what had happened, and she just said, "Oh, he's just been here too long."
The Dawn Raids may have ended several decades ago, but the way in which Pasifika are viewed in the national psyche is damaged to this day. But Brother D counts himself in a crowd that flipped negative stereotypes on their head.
The one beautiful thing for me in the journey of Dawn Raid was these billboard magazines with the word Dawn Raid in it. Once our music was in the billboard, once again to me, there you go. That's my struggle, that's my fight, that's everything that I believe in.
There are some that still seek an outlet to vent their unresolved trauma. For the past 2 weeks at the Abuse and Care Tsatsala e Pulonga inquiry, stories continue to expose the Dawn Raid's devastating and ongoing impact. Oscar Keitely says Sunday's formal government apology will provide a chance for all to look at where we came from and where to move forward.
The powers that be have to be prepared to engage meaningfully for that apology to mean anything. But it's still important, and I don't want to go past this point. I think this is important, rather than go to the, oh, but what about this and this needs to happen? Of course, absolutely. You know, time and place for all that to come out. But I don't want to go past this point.
And that's Pacific Waves for today. Remember, you can listen to us free on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or any podcast platform. And if you're using Apple, please leave us a rating and review so others can also find us. Until next time, tō whāsoifua.